Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at Earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Cassaz with Chris Anderson. Chris, we are celebrating the spring game at West Virginia University. And let's just... Hello, dog. Let's just take a second here to get past whatever you might say about the quality of the game, the purpose of the game, the presence of the game on a spring schedule, because that is always going to be a topic this time of year, every year, until they decide to mandate or completely do away with spring games. I honestly can't think of a better outcome for them than what they produced on April 27, 2024. Big crowd. They kind of framed it around a future platform that'll work when it comes to pregame entertainment, in-game competitions and excitement incorporating fans. There was a half an hour on the field afterwards, going on and on and on here. And by the way, the third largest crowd in spring game history, at least on record. Because 6 years ago, we were talking about, do they even want to play this anymore? And a lot has changed in that time. A lot's changed in a year or two. But I guess I just want to give a thumbs up or maybe two claps to West Virginia for orchestrating this and also pulling it off.
Yeah, that's what I was, one of the first things I was going to ask you, because I think this was the, hey, what are we watching for in the spring game? When you and I did that Friday, that video on Friday, and I asked, you know, what's the attendance going to be like? That's the first thing I'm going to look at. Are people going to show up? The answer is apparently yes. I'm looking at the official number says 18,540. You can tell me if that's accurate or not. Sounds like it might have been. Getting people there is key. Because like you said, just a couple years ago, we were having discussions. Is it even worth having the spring game? How many people are going to show up? It's only a few thousand people. And just last year, there wasn't that much of a crowd. And people were, I think it's safe to say, not just with the spring game, but kind of apathetic towards the program, mm-hmm. towards Neil Brown, I think is fair to say. But now there's excitement and there's hope and there's people. So a lot has changed in a year. And for the most part, or all parts, for the better.
18,540. The record, and believe this for as much as you want, but the 2011 season with an even 22,000. That was a big crowd, I remember. And you can imagine they were pretty pumped about that team, too. Year one of Holgorsen. Let's do something positive for the program, because they certainly had some tumult that offseason, and they were going to be good. They knew that. And then prior to that, Neil Brown's first season, Chris, 18,865. So not far from being the number two. And listen, how legitimate is an even 22,000 in a year they really wanted to have a big number? I don't know. I'm not going to say they fudged that number, but maybe closer to 18,000 than 22,000. So listen, all things considered, this is a pretty good thing that they pulled off. And let's just get into this for a second here. And I don't want to be negative, because, again, they overcame the darts that we might be throwing right here too, but giving your fans 24 hours notice that Pat White and Pat McAfee will be the honorary coaches of the game. Those are both big deals. And then also you're going to have a reveal for a new set of uniforms, which turned out very well, but they also left a fruit hanging low on the tree too, so they can keep people tuned to their social media. And listen, I'll be honest, I was like, boy, they could have done a better job promoting that. I don't know how difficult it was to pull it together. Pat McAfee is doing the draft on Thursday and Friday in Detroit. Pat White is out west with the San Diego Chargers and his kids. It might have been a difficult thing to pull together. I'm honestly not sure what the number would have been had they announced this April 1st, May 15th. It's still a pretty healthy number too. So they did a good job parrying a lot of the insults or jokes we could have made about them. And all things considered, this grows into something that is an annual exclamation point, and it starts here. That's a great thing for them. Let's just begin with that. What did you make of McAfee and White being back? Huey Mack being the pregame, the uniform reveals, although perhaps not the entirety of what they have up their sleeve. There's a lot to pick here. What did you think about everything they put on the table for us?
It's smart to kind of make it a whole thing, like make it one big event. And I don't want to take anything away. It's not unique. That's something you and I have discussed on this podcast for years now, but it was pretty cool because there's been a lot of talk amongst WV fans like, hey, bring Pat White back for this. Hey, why is Pat McAfee not coming back for that? Especially, hey, he's one of the most famous people in sports right now, Pat McAfee, and he's a WVU alumnus. Why is he not here? Hey, Pat White, he's one of the greatest college players ever. Why are we not seeing more of him? And then to bring them back for the spring game, like you said, it was a little, why is this a Friday afternoon news dump right before the spring game of, hey, here comes Pat White, here comes Pat McAfee. Also, we're unveiling uniforms. Thoughts on that? Lots of them. But like you said, Pat McAfee was just doing NFL draft stuff for ESPN the night before. And Pat White, his job, had a family, busy, could have been kind of up in the air to the last minute. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But pulling it all together, getting people excited, I think that's the smart way to go with this.
Yeah, I mean, just kudos for getting Pat McAfee back and for bringing Pat White into the program. Those guys have been kind of distant for different reasons, very different reasons. To get them back is great. And again,
Hey,
do they
Mike.
do this every year? They have honorary captains. I don't know, but you get Pat White there, who some of these players, some of them know a little bit about. Again, this might predate them, which makes me feel old, but there are people who watch the highlights before the game on Saturday and maybe Friday when they first found out about this, and they were just like, holy cow. This guy, they heard about him, hadn't seen him. They knew he played there. They weren't really aware of it too. And then, I mean, McAfee draws a billion eyeballs. He's out partying at Mutt's the night before the game. And by the way, a player commits to him on social media. Again, all things considered, like there's certain things you want to do. They got all that and a little bit more too. So good for them. Again, where this goes, that's probably the ultimate legacy of today in the future directions. This is probably the first time. This is like similar to a recruiting class. Chris, you have a really good year. It's not the next season, but the season after that really counts in recruiting. Rem Baker's first spring game was last year. This is probably his first time where he's really hit the ground running. And if we're forgetting this, that Almost Heaven Village, I had people text me and send me photos from there. They had a great time. Food trucks, music, things like that. That's a pregame thing that I don't know if that'll be an every Saturday thing. But you think about what they've done over there. They've gotten rid of the pit. They've gotten rid of certain tented areas. You can't do this. You can't do this anymore. They probably shouldn't have the pit over there. Although, pickup trucks full of ice and kegs, I'd be okay with that game back in a controlled environment, of course. I'm not sure that's up Ren Baker's sleeve there, but you can see they're adding things here. And if it's an experiment that sticks or that they tweak, that's good too. So again, I don't want to rave and do the PR for them, but they did a lot of it themselves. And earned media, Chris, and marketing, there's nothing like earned media. You spend nothing on it and you get a whole lot from it. And here we are gushing about this too. Maybe we can pour water on the parade and talk about the game. I don't even want to talk about the game. I was just impressed by what it was and how I've felt in the past before and during and even after spring games. And totally different. I'm a convert, Chris, paid and bought.
All right. You brought up two things I wanted to talk about there. I'll let you pick which one, the Almost Heaven Village or Pat McAfee. Where do you want to go first?
Go, Pat. I think it's a huge deal.
All right. So you were there. You got a different view than me. You're in the press box, you're watching it live, you're seeing all this stuff. Pat made one appearance on the ESPN Plus stream. And here I'm pulling up my tweet from the time. In about the span of about 30 seconds, he jokingly accused Pat White's team of cheating. talked about having too many Morgantown waters last night and was feeling a little rough. Dropped an S-bomb that did not get bleeped in time, so it was fresh and out there for everybody. And then called for Pat White's number five to get retired and saying it should have been done. He wasn't invited back on to talk anymore for any more interviews. But it was great. Like, I mean, he was himself. He was just like he is on his own show. Very outspoken and kind of just sharing his mind. And, you know, hey, calling for Pat White's number five to get retired. He's not alone in that. Certainly not alone in that. Having fun about the game, having a good time, talking about having fun with everybody else. Hey, I mean, he's an employee over there at ESPN and everything else, so he can deal with the S-bomb with his own bosses on that one. But it was good. I didn't know if you got to see that because that was on that stream that I was watching, but it was
Listen,
good.
Listen, man, you swing in a pinata, that candy's going to fall out, man.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into, and shame on you if you don't. That's what you acquire when you line up that guest too. And even his announcing video on Twitter, I believe he swore twice on that. And again, I'm not a prude when it comes to language, but like they were bleeped out in the video, which meant that the WVU accounts didn't want that. But authentic to the core, Pat McAfee, and a prediction for you, Chris, they will probably retire Pat White's number. That would be in some fashion. Remember, we've been over this. Those rules change quietly, but a couple of years ago, those rules changed, and that can happen now. They realized it was way too strict and restrictive, and a guy like Pat White should be commemorated in some fashion. That was the guy where they sat down and said, we can't honor this guy at all, and they changed it, and there's no reason that they can't. Now, I shouldn't say there's no reason, but like the things that stood in the way before that were prohibitions are gone now. And if you're Pat White, do you want to do this not knowing what the program is, who the athletic director is? Do they just want you to draw a gate, you know, to have a big game, to have a moment? I don't know. Maybe you want to know the people and get along with them. And this is the step in that direction where a year from now, this season, I don't know, but he feels secure doing that. Then again, we'll see. Again, the legacy of what happened today is ultimately down the road. But if they end up doing something with number five, that's going to be pretty cool, I think, too. And that's the guy certainly earned it on the field and over time. I don't think his accomplishments are any less than what they were at the time. And again, it was kind of cool to hear some people, like parents actually, in the parking lot talking about, I showed my kid the highlights, because the parents remember. Kids are like not born or like 2 years old at that point. And to see that stuff and be like, holy cow, and it resonates with the family, that's pretty good too. Big day for the kids, Chris.
Yep. Big enough.
Also, you know what, after the game too, that half an hour on the field after the game where people get to run around and throw passes and take pictures. And again, I don't want to like keep praising WVU, but they earned this. Like the biggest battle that schools have right now is replenishing your generational fans. And it's been thin for a while. And if you got some kid who is really moved by being on the field and taking a picture with Garrett Green or Nico Markio or Traylon Ray or Traylon Davis, even for that matter, if it means a lot to him, that kid may want to go to a game in the future this year or next year or the year after. He may want to attend school here. Maybe he's a recruit that decides he's going to play here. And, you know, 13 years from now, there's a photo of him at a signing ceremony with him taking a picture of Traylon Ray. Just little things like that go a long way. You got to find a way to keep those turntiles spinning generationally. And they at least had their mind on that, which is good. Again, just all around a pretty nice day by them.
Speaking of the kids and the Almost Heaven Village. So the very first weekend that went up, I believe it was Andrew. I can't remember who it was at the time that was working with us. And they went out. I said, hey, they got this new thing over there. Well, go over there and get a video and some pictures of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. One that, you know, that'd be good. That'd be good for us. We could put it on the site. Our members can check it out. It might even be good for WVU. It might be good for people and the fans too. It'll be informative. Hey, is this something worth going up there? Maybe with my kids and going to check it out, doing all this stuff. We posted that video and you can still find it on the site. I'll link it somewhere on the board. It was not impressive. Day one. Looked a little rough, looked a little sparse, just kind of looked like one blow up thing and like one food truck maybe and kind of not much. And some people made some jokes. They were not a big fan of it, kind of said it was underwhelming. And now, like you said, they've had some time. They've had some time. They've had some runway to kind of build it up, to adjust, to add to it. And today, I've heard some very positive things about it. Said it wasn't anything like it was the first time around, just to your point about how nice it was, and you heard some good things about it. So they're learning, they're adapting, they're adding to and improving, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, I think you got to convince the vendors to do it, so that helps. And they got some vendors who are willing. That's fine. The crowd wasn't so big; it wasn't 60,000 that it made it impossible to move around in there too. So those are good signs. And also, I did not see that like picket fence village on the field in the end zone, right behind the end zone. So that might be on the cutting room floor. It was an idea, and this is my thing here: fail trying, but try. And if you try something that doesn't work, you have enough reversion of it, or you said, "Hey, we're trying things here." So. From the same minds that brought you the plastic fence village and the almost heaven village, Ren Baker, oh, by the ways, that they have a $200 million press box suite level renovation. I would say on the drawing board. I got to go out and raise the money and do a study and all that stuff, but that wasn't coincidental either. So that's something that you can go out and work on now too. And
Hold on. Is it coincidental that you are praising WVU and everything they're doing at the same exact time that they're announcing a $200 million upgrade to the press box?
I'm not contributing if that's what you ask. Unless they can give me like a non-corner seat in the end zone too. It was inevitable. Like that's prime real estate. And if this athletic director, unlike his predecessor, believes that there is a need and a want and a demand to do the suites and to sell them for a period of years, not just the first year when it's hot, but get someone to commit for 5 years, or a company to commit for every year, you can do that. And then, I mean, just that we have great seats, sideline level, parallel to the sideline. We're gonna move, I'm pretty sure, because that's stuff that you could sell for a ton of money, and it's kind of silly that they let it sit there because they can bank so much cash on that. And listen, good for them. Might take a couple of years, it might not even happen. 200 million seems like a small number, but that's a lot of money still. And even if it's more, it's gonna be that much more difficult. But you see where this is going now. Like you got to take it seriously, and they're taking it seriously with small things like a spring game, but big things like facilities and upgrades, renovations too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So is this the part of the podcast where we talk about the actual football game?
Do we have to?
Okay. Was there anything worth, is there anything worth talking about? Like that we
Sure.
actually saw. Like again, like I'm not saying they did a poor job. They didn't, there's been years past where it's like, oh my God, what are they doing out there? This wasn't really that, but it's still a spring game. It's still, I think Neil Brown had a point again. This was on the stream. I don't know if he said it in post game yet. I know you were there, but he said, hey, wasn't too worried about some of those interceptions because they're just running the same handful of plays over and over and over and over and over again. And the defense knows what's coming, and they were kind of cheating a little bit. So he wasn't as worried about the interceptions as he might have normally been, which then just takes me to the point of what can I take from this spring game? What can you really understand about it? And I don't know. I felt okay about one of the other things I said I wanted to see in that Friday 3-minute video preview. And that was, how well are the linebackers moving? You know, you got guys coming back from serious injury. Are they moving laterally? Are they moving well? Do they still look athletic? And I think so. Again, it's just brief moments, but they looked okay. They looked fine. They looked good. I honestly don't know what else to take from this. What did you take?
So the structure of the game, it might as well be the Washington Generals. It's just never going to win because you're not going to put anything out there worthwhile. Like, you didn't see Jaden Brady do hardly anything today. Does that mean he stinks, or is he good and they don't want to let anybody know? I don't know. And I'll say this, Chris. I've had analysts from four analysts from three different schools follow me on Twitter all of a sudden because it's that time of year. You got to figure out what's happening, right? And Brown said that they were running plays in the 2023 playbook. They were just because they didn't want to put their new stuff on the film. So, yeah, you can go back and look what they did on film last year and figure out, okay, they ran this, they ran this. So, like, their last four games last year, they just ran those plays, which is cool. Except interceptions today, Chris. Trotter, Jennings, Garnes. New. So, yeah, maybe they were sitting on the same plays, but they were probably not running all the 2023 plays in practice if they're installing new stuff. I'm not sure how much installation happens in the spring anyway. But if new guys are picking off old plays, that's encouraging, right? And every one of those guys, that's somebody I wanted to see. Obviously, the linebacker is super intriguing because it's depth, it's good talent, it's old players, young players, big players, fast players, a lot to like there. But they've also put a lot into renovating, refurbishing, whatever you want to call it, rebuilding the secondary. And to see a guy like Zay Jennings, you know, make a TFL play on a run, step in front of a pass on a two-point play, Aiden Garnes, you know, I think he got beat on one play on a touchdown. I'm trying to remember here. I don't want to besmirch the guy because I think he otherwise played well. That's a guy who can really run and stick with receivers too. They like him a lot as a guy who can do a couple of different things. I'm not sure he'll be a starting corner. He's going to play a lot because he might be your nickel. He might be the extra defensive back and pass packages, which you can see a lot in Big 12 play or just college football in general now. So those might be hits right away, those three guys. I think that you could look into the future based on today and say, if the goal of the spring, this is what Neil Brown stated, is to get ready for the fall, or even this next phase of the summer, they probably did that, and they have a lot of their best players, most of their best players, healthy and in situations that set them up to continue to grow and succeed and lead the way. But they also have some younger players or new players who are in position to push or to succeed and lead the way. That's really healthy right now.
Do you need me to clear the floor and let you ISO on RJ Cochan? What is it, third?
Cochan.
Cochan, excuse me.
Cochan, you're not on the newsletter? Koshan boots a 54-yarder. Listen, yeah. I don't know how much you guys work on geometry and things like that. It was good from 73, based on my calculations. So that was good. Happy to see that. Some good punts. I'm not sure what happened to the special teams drill. It was hard to watch. I shouldn't say hard to watch. It was hard to figure out what they were doing. I couldn't tell who won or lost some of them. Except one time, Trotter buried Lathan on the middle of a play. Like it was in the middle of the rep. Like, you're supposed to go from one cone to the other, from like outside one hash to the outside the other hash, so it's like a pretty decent run, and it was over halfway through. He didn't mess around with that one, so that was cool. And something else that they got out of the game, Chris, and this was extremely appropriate to me, it ends on a Hail Mary. Like, they were forced to practice the Hail Mary. Oh, we don't practice that very much. You don't get a chance to practice that. We practice it twice a week. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure. Like, I really wish they would have called a timeout and put their good guys in ones versus ones to see what happens. As it is, Keen throws the interception to Aiden Tagaloa-Nelson. Maybe you want to see Tagaloa-Nelson knock it down instead of catching it, but that guy's been trying to get his hands on a basketball or a football for a while now, so good for him for picking it off and showing them how to defend a Hail Mary too. Again, just good stuff all around, Chris.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm checking out the stat book here. I was trying to see if there was anything else that stood out to me, because again, the Clay Ash, I want to say that I was driving that bandwagon. So I'm glad to see him get the spring game bump. Don't know if it's going to last, but he was one that we saw at camp last summer. Very athletic. I was shocked that he wasn't an offer type guy, but here he is involved in the mix doing something. I don't know if he's, I don't know how much he's going to be involved in the fall, but still something. Traylon Ray kind of got going there a little bit later in the scrimmage for receiver. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. It's always hard. It's hard every year to be like, yeah, this really impressed me. That really impressed me. Because most of the things that impressed me about today were off the field, just as we've already discussed with everything going on. So
what was cool about Ray was he was in there on the final drive with Jackson Crist. It wasn't like he was throwing to you and me and people like that. Like, he's out there with the, I don't know, is he going to be fourth string quarterback? Maybe he's third string now. I don't know. Maybe it's him, Wilkins, and Keene for the third spot in the fall. We'll see. But he's out there with his backup quarterback, and if you watch him, he's working. Like, he's not just running his route and ending it. He's trying to get, like, up in front of the second-level defender so the quarterback can see him and he can make himself available. Like, he was really trying to help out Jackson Crist there on the final drive of the game where, I mean, guys are out of their shoulder pads, their helmets are off, they're having water. They threw the Gatorade on Pat McAfee. This game was over, right? And he's out there working. Number seven to the very end was out there just trying to make sure his third or fourth quarterback got reps. That to me, kind of stands out. And I guarantee you that if and when they do break this film down, I can't guarantee if or when they will, but should. That'll be something that they prove to people, that they show to people, to prove that, like, hey, you watch this guy because he knows what he's doing and he's trying really hard. And that stood out to me. I'd also say, too, that their lines, I think, are going to be a little bit better than we thought. Like, don't forget, they have a starting five in the offensive line. Like, Remotch is going to start at left guard. Bryce Biggs didn't get to practice at all this spring. Unfortunately, he misses out a good opportunity to get a ton of reps at left guard, but they liked him a lot already. So get those two guys back. And you know more about Sullivan Weedman and Mo Hamilton right now. You know more about, like, you don't have to rep Wyatt Milam a ton in the spring. You'd be kind of silly to do that. But he gets requisite work in, and they give a lot of action to Nick Malone and Johnny Williams and people like that. So they're going to go on in the field the first day with five. Chris, how many more do you think they have? Like you and I would say have. Because they always talk about, oh, we should get to 8 or 9. And that's great. But, like, I don't think that's an unreasonable thing this year. You get Biggs back. You have more with Williams. Weedman looks like he knows what he's doing. Landon Livingston might be your second center. I mean, that's 9 right there. I'm not sure how much they trust Livingston in the game, but they might not have an option either. They really could go to 7. And again, have your swing guard, swing tackle, backup center. 8, 9, I think that's a good number. And then defensively, yeah, they're going to miss Corey McIntyre. They might add to that too. But the talent they have concentrating the players who are healthy and available, maybe they're not numerically deep enough, but they have some good players in the defensive line too. They could roll in waves again.
Yeah, the numbers thing on defense concerns me. I thought the guys that were out there looked fine, looked good. You know, again, as much as you can take from this, but they were, you know, they're going up against a good offensive line. So, like, they're not going up against, you know, a weaker part of the team. And they looked like they held their own in the trenches there. So that was encouraging. Again, numbers, like you said, that might be more of a concern. West Virginia's targeting transfers already, a couple offers out, already had a visitor there. So that's something to keep an eye on. And speaking of, I also had a cornerback transfer visiting this weekend. Neil Brown said, you know, if some of those guys that, especially in backup roles, weren't really filling in where they were hoping, or weren't as game ready as they were hoping, they would fill in on the back end and in the transfer portal. And they got one on campus right now for a visit, got out a couple new offers on that as well. So I think the transfer portal thing is just going to kick in here pretty quickly the next couple of days.
You reported on Saturday morning, transfer receiver contacted, quizzically says they're trying to get someone to play the X. Maybe that's depth, but, like, they're talking specifically, like, here's your role. We need someone who can play. Maybe you tell it to every transfer. But I think if you ask the general public, rank the positions in order of need in the transfer portal, I'm not sure receiver would be at or near the top. I'm not sure that that's the right opinion, though, either, especially with Horton leaving and just, again, not good talent, but kind of thin. And like, they had this whole thing from a couple of years ago where you don't want to have three deep at every position because you got to throw in the ball and they'll transfer. You'd probably like to have more numbers than they have now. Is it simply getting one more body in there? Is it replacing some like, I mean, maybe replacing somebody who's going to leave soon, Chris? Ugh, I don't know. What do you think is illogical? Is it proactive, reactive? What do you make of this?
On that one, I think that's kind of being proactive, getting out ahead of it a little bit. Touching base, because again, that's just an offer. I'm doing air quotes for those that are listening and not watching. We'll see how legit it is. We'll see if he's going to come up for a visit. transfers, things get serious once you start visiting. They don't have time to mess around. Like, they don't have a full, you know, 15 months, 18 months like high school recruits do to take all these visits, think about it, take some more visits, all this stuff, repeat visits. It's, I got to take my visits. I got to be serious. Go, go, go. So we'll see on that. But like you said, Horton's out. So it's almost like a one for one if you're going to start targeting a couple wide receivers trying to find some more depth there. Defensive line, obviously, Corey McIntyre gets hurt almost immediately. New offer out to Brandon Lane, who came in and visited last weekend. We haven't seen anything about anybody leaving yet in the secondary, but Neil Brown was very open about, hey, if some of these backup guys are not ready, game ready, we'll go out and get somebody. Boom, new offers go out in the secondary. Got a visitor this weekend. So I think more is going to come. I think more guys are going to leave, obviously. I mentioned it on the board. I believe the number I said it was 88. Then minus Sean Boyle, minus E.J. Horton, it's down to 86. The limit is 85. I think West Virginia will be down to 81 or 82 by Tuesday, probably. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. There's going to be some guys who are probably third on the depth chart, second on the depth chart, and they're in their third or fourth year, and they're going to go look for something else. And that's what the portal was originally meant for. So that's not too shocking. That's nothing to be concerned about. And I think West Virginia is going to go one for one and get right back up to 85 again.
I was struck by something that Brown said a couple weeks ago, I can't remember too, but likes his receivers when you line up Ray, Clement, Gallagher, Bray, Fox. Fox had another amazing catch today too, but likes those guys. You can move them around in different parts. You can have guys who are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", all over the field. They don't really have that long guy, that tall guy. And the guy that they have offered that you wrote about is, I believe, 6'3", Chris. I wonder if they're targeting that body. They frankly need receivers. They just do. They don't have a lot right now. So would a big guy do it? Would more than one guy do it? I'd be pretty interested to see that. Like, a lot of questions to ask. They'll answer them over time, but I think that's a good one there too. Like, we think they have good receivers, and certainly they do. They have enough. I don't know. And do they have the depth in case one gets injured or pulls a hamstring or targets on a reverse block or something like that? I don't know. We'll see. Also, receivers could probably pass the ball a little bit better too. Picky? See, I can say something negative.
You're getting picky. You were too positive for too long. It had to start. Had to start, Mike. Mm-hmm. Also, a big weekend high school recruiting. They're not messing around. Transfer guys are in. They had a large majority, if not all, I'm trying to think off the top of my head here, of 2024 commits coming into town, or signees, not commits, signees, that were there to watch the game. Had a bunch of top 2025 targets, 2026 targets, even a couple 2027 guys. And they ranged from, you know, guys that are at the top of the board all the way down, not down, like, don't take this negatively, but preferred walk-ons up to top of the target board. So they had a large chunk of players there, got a commitment from two different players, a 2025 tight end, 2026 linebacker. It's a good way to get things started for 2026. I really like Davion Teller, the player who committed. Jackson Aquarde was the tight end in 2025 and seemed like it's top target at that position, offered him, set up the official visit. He's got offers, been to a lot of schools, was most recently in Michigan State. But like I said in my preview this morning, when a guy has a bunch of offers, only has one official visit set up, and is visiting the school that he only has an official visit set up 5 weeks before he's going to come for his official visit, use your brain. That's what's going to happen. Doesn't take much to figure that out.
I think that might about wrap it up here, Chris. They're not paying us for advertising, but again, it's hard not to be impressed by what they did. I mean, everything can always be better, but could it have gotten so much better in such a short amount of time? 1 year, we'll see. But when you think about all they accomplished last year, I think this is kind of a commemoration of that. So good for them. Good for the fans. Had good weather, even though it was kind of rainy early on. A bunch of people got over to the baseball game. They had a good crowd for that. Mountaineers win that one, so they're back on a winning streak. I don't know, Chris. No great clouds. Sun's out.
Where's your panic meter?
I don't even know where it is. 1 to 10. I don't even know where it is. I have to go find it. I mean, I probably have to go buy batteries for it and everything too. Life is good. And like Neil Brown swimming, right? No problem. DeVries had a small army of players on campus too, I believe, too, right? And by the way, he's got six players now. So some good things are happening there too. Toby Okoni commits. They're going to probably get a point guard and a center before too long, you would hope. You're starting to like squint a little bit and see the shape, the outline of a team, a coaching staff, a roster, a direction. Life's good, right?
Yep. Sounds good.
By the way, were you aware that Okoni was a guard?
Sure. He can call himself whatever he wants to call him.
I think that's the thing. He's just a basketball player. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, they got that forward from Chicago, from Illinois. I'm like, Hansberry? Like, no. The guy from UIC. I'm like, oh, the guy's a guard. Like, no, he's 6'8", 2'3". I was like, I know, but he's a guard. And because he played guard, he was listed as a guard everywhere. I think people forget that. But, man, you put him in the two or the three, put him and Harris together, that's some pretty good defense in the perimeter, which is kind of going toward the way they want to play. So, just to praise your impact right away.
It's nice. We've been talking about that length. Keep it going.
Interchangeable parts.
Yep.
Speaking of podcasts on a Sunday morning, we'll be back, I don't know, sometime early this week. Maybe we have to wait till Tuesday. Do we have more questions to ask or topics to discuss? Maybe we'll be back Monday. Just have to stay tuned because as we learned this week, Chris, with short notice, you can have great surprises. So why don't we live up to that standard by ourselves? Until then, I am Mike Casazzo.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.